2012 anyway.
Good morning and welcome to the May 24th meeting of the House Committee on Economic Development and Trade. Today we are going to hear about an important bill that's come over from the Senate. I'm going to open a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 1044A. Mr. Crawford, if you could please describe for us the procedural posture of the bill and the amendments. There are a number of amendments that we are going to be working today. Not all the amendments that have been submitted are going to be worked today, but we are going to be looking at the A7, A8, A9, and A12. So if you could please start us off by refreshing our recollection on the bill and describing those amendments, then we'll move into some witnesses. Thanks.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1044A was last heard in this committee on May 17th. Primarily deals with OLCC regulatory authority and general omnibus bill. The committee is being asked to consider the A7 amendments. The A7 amendments specifies a license granted under the Oregon Liquor Control Act is subject to cancellation, suspension, or restriction. Primarily, the A7 amendments gave greater authority to OLCC to grant suspended licenses or restricted licenses. The committee is also being asked to consider the Dash A8 amendments. They allow an Oregon Liquor Control Commission to issue an on-premise sales license to a winery licensee, a person having an interest in or a controlling interest over a license, or a brewery that brews more than 200,000 barrels of malt beverages annually. The A9 amendments allow a distillery license holder to sell distilled liquor of 10% alcohol by volume content. The A12 amendments allow the Oregon Liquor Control Commission to issue an on-premise sales license to a brewery public house licensee, a person having interest or controlling interest over a license, to a brewery that brews more than 200,000 barrels of malt beverages annually, or to a winery that produces more than 200,000 barrels of wine annually. As of now, we have minimal fiscal and revenue impacts for all of the amendments we are going to consider, with the exception of the A8 amendments. We are still waiting for the revenue impact statement on that measure.
Excellent. All right. So what we're going to do today is invite forward testimony, and there is some testimony, I believe, and written testimony in the record on amendments that are probably not going to get worked today, but it will be useful to have people present their perspectives. Also, to the extent there are folks here who are proponents of amendments who'd like to provide some description about the, or supporters of amendments who'd like to describe what the amendments accomplish in your own words, or any negotiated compromise that has been reached within the sector to make it clear that there isn't any controversy about amendments, we'd welcome that. You know, fundamentally, we may be trying to spend some time while the A8 fiscal and revenue impact statements are generated, so we've got a little bit of time, as is typical this time in the year. I'd like to invite forward Karen Gerard with OHA, and then we will have on deck Paul Romain and Jay Douglas. So let's have Karen Gerard and Jay Douglas come up together, please. And then after that, we'll have Mr. Romain. Welcome. You can go in any order. Please state your name for the record, and we look forward to hearing your perspective.
Good morning, Chair Leininger, members of the committee. My name is Karen Gerard, and I'm the Health Promotion and Chronic Disease Prevention Manager with the Oregon Health Authority. I'm here today to provide information relating to the Dash 11 amendment concerning the allowance of on-premises consumption of alcoholic beverages at smoke shops certified by the Oregon Health Authority. Oregon's Indoor Clean Air Act protects nearly every Oregon employee and resident from the health risks of secondhand smoke by prohibiting smoking in most public places and workplaces, including bars and restaurants. There are few exceptions written into the law that continue to expose Oregonians to secondhand smoke. These exceptions include certified cigar bars and certified smoke shops. At present, there are 10 certified cigar bars and 23 certified smoke shops in Oregon. Under current law, cigar bars are the only places where people are allowed to smoke only cigars for the purposes of smoking. Cigar bars were grandfathered in when the Indoor Clean Air Act passed in 2007. In smoke shops, people are only allowed to smoke tobacco products for the sole purpose of making retail purchase decisions. The A11 amendment would amend the Indoor Clean Air Act to allow for the consumption of alcoholic beverages at smoke shops certified by the Oregon Health Authority. Currently, the Oregon Health Authority has 23 certified smoke shops. Half of these certified smoke shops, 11 of the 23, are better known as hookah lounges. Hookah users in Oregon are primarily youth and young adults who are attracted to the flavored tobacco products sold at hookah lounges. While only 1.5% of adults over age 25 smoke hookahs, 4% of 8th graders use hookah, 7.5% of 11th graders use hookah, and 12.6% of people age 18 to 25 use hookah. Allowing the sale and consumption of alcohol in hookah lounges would introduce alcohol consumption in places frequented by 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. According to statute, one of the requirements for becoming a certified smoke shop is that the business allows smoking of tobacco product samples only for the purpose of making retail purchase decisions. Thus, smoke shops allow the customer to sample tobacco to determine what tobacco product they would like to purchase, which is unrelated to the consumption of alcohol. Currently, it is only legal to smoke cigars and consume alcohol on the same premises in 10 cigar bars, which, as I mentioned, were grandfathered in. Allowing consumption of alcoholic beverages in smoke shops expands the places where people can smoke tobacco and drink alcohol in the same commercial establishment and erodes the social norms that have been changed by the Indoor Clean Air Act legislation all over the country. Exposure to secondhand smoke continues to affect Oregonians. In 2015, an estimated 544,000 Oregonians reported that they are exposed to secondhand smoke indoors. In Oregon, more than 750,000 people use tobacco, including more than 500,000 who use cigarettes. Administering and enforcing Oregon's Indoor Clean Air Act contributes to the Public Health Division's mission of promoting health and preventing the leading causes of death, disease, and injury. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Ms. Duncan.
Good morning. Chair Leininger and members of the committee, I'm Dr. Jay Douglas. I'm the Environmental Health Services Director for Multnomah County. Pleased to be here this morning to provide testimony. Today I'm going to focus on our opposition to the Dash 11 amendment to Senate Bill 1044. The Dash A11 amendment removes the current prohibition under the Oregon Indoor Clean Air Act for certified smoke shops to allow on-site sales and consumption of food and alcoholic beverages through temporary Oregon Liquor Control Commission permits. We oppose allowing the sale of consumption and food and alcoholic beverages in smoke shops because it creates social settings for indoor tobacco use and changes the norms around public smoking. Also of significant concern, it is not clear how this exemption would prevent alcohol being offered and sold at locations where minors are present. The original intention of a smoke shop certification under ICA, Indoor Clean Air Act, was to allow indoor smoking to provide consumers the opportunity to sample products for the purposes of making retail purchase decisions only. House Bill 2726 was passed in 2011 to tighten up the rules related to exempt businesses and to change the definition of smoke shops for the purposes of the Indoor Clean Air Act by allowing smoking for sampling only. The Indoor Clean Air Act was never intended to create a social gathering place for indoor smoking while drinking and or eating food. Per the Oregon Indoor Clean Air Act, certified smoke shops are restricted to youth 18 and older. We're concerned that this amendment does not make it clear how youth 18 to 20 would be prohibited from accessing alcohol when it is offered at these businesses. Multnomah County enforces the Indoor Clean Air Act within our jurisdiction through an intergovernmental agreement with the Oregon Health Authority, yet OLCC would be approving permits to allow on-site consumption of alcohol at certified smoke shops. We're concerned about this lack of clarity about which agency would be providing oversight to make sure staff are not allowing youth to purchase or consume alcohol. We're also very concerned about how enforcement of activities across tobacco and alcohol will be coordinated between the responsible agencies. As a local public health authority, we're responsible for protecting the health of our entire county. We strongly oppose this amendment because it weakens the true intent of what this law was established to do, which is to protect workers and the public from the known dangers of secondhand smoke and to denormalize smoking indoors. For these reasons, we urge that the Dash A11 amendment is not adopted. Thank you for the opportunity to testify here, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Excellent. Thank you. You know, I see that Katie Thiessen is also signed up now. This would be a good time to come forward. You can provide your testimony, which I think is maybe going to be consistent with this testimony.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here.
Katie Tyson with the Oregon Nurses Association. Chair Leininger and members of the committee, thanks for giving me the opportunity to testify today on behalf of ONA in opposition to the Dash 11 amendments of Senate Bill 1044. ONA represents nearly 15,000 Oregon nurses who work in a variety of settings, from large hospitals, small clinics, local public health and community based corrections and public health centers. Consequently, nurses are really intimately aware of the detrimental effects of smoking and secondhand smoke, which is why we are supportive of protecting and expanding the Indoor Clean Air Act. ONA opposes the Dash 11 amendments because the dangerous impacts of smoking ultimately far outweigh the desire for smoke shops to host special events and for patrons to consume alcohol and food on site. The ICAA specifically prohibits smoking where alcohol is served, including restaurants, bars, and enclosed areas, because of the harmful health effects of secondhand smoke, both for patrons and employees, including heightened risk of heart and lung disease and cancer. The Dash 11 significantly weakened the Indoor Clean Air Act by allowing smoke shops to hold parties and events with alcohol and catering, exposing smoking and secondhand smoke to a significantly wider audience than would otherwise go into a smoke shop just to purchase tobacco products. For those Oregonians who wish to smoke and drink at the same time, there are options already afforded in the Indoor Clean Air Act, so the state really doesn't need to carve out additional spaces for concurrent tobacco and alcohol use. The last thing I'll say is, you know, I think the minimal economic development impact this bill may produce really pales in comparison to the detrimental public health impacts that smoking and secondhand smoke have in terms of lost economic output. In 2014 alone, Oregon lost $1.1 billion in lost productivity from premature-related deaths, tobacco-related deaths, and spent $1.4 billion on tobacco-related medical expenses to the state. So it really makes the most economic sense to work to further reduce tobacco and nicotine consumption as opposed to promoting it. So thank you for the opportunity. Again, ONA encourages no vote on the Dash 11 amendments to Senate Bill 1044.
Thank you so much. Any comments? So you can go ahead and have a seat. Really appreciate it. And I would like to note how much respect I have for the proponent of this amendment, who I think conducted the, you know, advocacy for this amendment with great transparency. And, you know, I myself am the supporter of an amendment to a different bill that may draw this exact community of opposition at a subsequent public hearing in a different committee. Mm-hmm. And it is challenging to be trying to move something forward that seems to make sense to the proponent and have good people in the community have a different perspective. So I just want to give great affirmation of the class and the transparency and the outreach with which our proponent here did that work. And that makes me very much want to support stuff that my colleague moves forward, because I think that this has been handled in a really top line way. So thanks.
Can I just add a couple of
please
thoughts?
Yeah. Thank go you, ahead,
Madam Chair. So what I want to make sure is, and I know that we're not going to move forward on this, and I understand completely why. I want to make sure that people know on the record, when we first heard the bill that this came from, I remember Representative Marsh had a concern about people bringing something in their own bottle and I logged that away as okay for future reference, and then this opportunity came to perhaps to change that. So I worked with some attorneys who I gave them what my concern was. My concern was having, and it's written here exactly, a winery that has an OLCC license, a brew house, a growler sales, a distillery, whatever it might be, special people that have an OLCC license to come in and conduct an event. To the hookah lounge thing, I don't know of any hookah lounges that ever did those events before the passing of the Indoor Clean Air Act. Only cigar shops did it. So, yes, perhaps we need to refine the language and actually narrow that down. But it concerns me a little bit that it was stated that there are places where you can smoke cigars and drink. I don't know where those are. So I'm waiting to find those.
Okay.
And that's what we wanted to do. So it's not a matter of we wanted to have a place where people smoke and drink. It's a place where we want to promote economic development as well as have that byproduct. So that's what we're looking for here, and I appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right. Good good and fair comments and good work on a hard issue. Next, we'll invite forward. Does anyone have any other comments on that? Okay. Next, we'll invite forward Paul Romain, who I believe is going to talk to us about the Dash 12, perhaps other things that are on his mind. Welcome.
Whatever you want.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Paul Romain. I'm an attorney in Portland, and I'm representing the Oregon Beer and Wine Distributors Association. First, a confession. I was in law school in Berkeley in the late 60s, early 70s, and I don't have any recollection of ever going into a hookah bar, but I might have.
Let the record reflect.
Madam Chair, a quick question. Mr. Romain, do you remember anything about that period?
Less and less.
If you remember the 60s, you weren't there.
Yeah. The second thing is El Gaucho is actually a great place for cigars and drinks.
Great.
But that's aside. The Dash 12 amendments really are a Dash 8 led to Dash 12. They're both necessary. The Dash 8 amendment, which we heard testimony about earlier, concerned a brewery licensee. When this was sent out to all the small brewers, brew pubs out there, somebody said, well, wait a second, there's a similar provision in the brew pub license. And frankly, it made no sense, because a brewery, no matter what size you are, cannot have an interest in a brew pub, period. So it's irrelevant that you're under 200,000 or over 200,000 or anything like that. And a winery can have an interest in a brew pub. And again, it really makes no difference what size you are. So the Dash 12s basically is, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. The problem is we didn't know why the provision was in the gander statute anyway. So it just takes out something that is basically unnecessary and makes the law clear that there is no distinction based on volume. Some licensees are allowed to have interest in other licensees. Some are not, period. That's all the Dash 12s do. Be happy to answer any questions.
Do we have any questions for Mr. Romain? I have a question, actually. So my understanding is that Mr. Butenshin, who is the executive director or CEO of the Brewers Guild, is a supporter of this amendment, and he works with and speaks on behalf of folks of all sizes in that sector. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, yes. In fact, I actually spoke to him last night, but he was going to come down here. I told him I'd cover it. He may be watching. Hi, Brian. But if he's it's for the small brewers, but nobody could really articulate exactly what the statute did in the first place, so it was just, it's unnecessary. There are, you'll find as you go through the liquor control statutes that they've been sort of crafted together over the years, and there's a lot of little things in there that probably need to be changed, and maybe next session or the session after you'll have an opportunity to do some things that'll clarify. This is one of those things that cropped up because of the Dash 8s.
Great. Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions? So actually, Mr. Romain, can I ask you one thing? So we're in a posture right now in which we have the fiscal and revenue impact statement paperwork for everything we would be looking to move today, except for the Dash 8. Could you, so my understanding is that there should not, it's de minimis fiscal impact for the Dash 12, right?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, there is a minimal fiscal and revenue impact for the Dash 12s.
Are you in a position, and we have Mr. Taylor here, our legislative drafter, thankfully, but if you are in a position, Mr. Romain, to distinguish between the Dash 8s and the Dash 12s, because you referred to both of them, and help us understand how it would be likely that there'd be sort of a comparable fiscal impact of removing the prohibition from one to removing the prohibition from another, that might support our ability to do a rule suspension to move the bill without paperwork.
Madam Chair.
If you feel like that's something you can do, that's fine.
Madam Chair, basically the Dash 8s could possibly have a positive revenue impact because you could actually get additional business in the state. as I believe Mr. Wilson testified to.
Right.
There is no possibility that either one of them would have any negative fiscal or revenue impact, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. All right, colleagues. I see a number of good people in the audience who, thank you, you can go ahead and have a seat, unless anyone has additional questions for Mr. Romaine. No, thank you. I see good colleagues in the audience. Does anyone else want to come forward and make any comments while we consider whether we should wait for the Dash 8 amendment paperwork? No, no one is rushing the witness table, surprisingly. All right. I would be happy to do a rule suspension and move those paperwork during the question. We don't have a script. All right, we're gonna try to undertake a rule suspension to see if we can move the bills without one of the pieces of paperwork.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm very sorry to interrupt, but I believe we'll have to adopt all four amendments that we would like to adopt into the amendment or
first,
into the bill, and then ask for a rule suspension.
So all right.
Like a tricky procedure.
Yeah.
We can do it.
Let it ride.
We can do it.
I think we can. Let's do this. Team.
Woo-hoo. I like the fact that this committee is the only committee I've sat on this year that has suspended the rules yet.
Nice, yeah.
What, did you suspend the rules one time?
Yeah, we had to pull Johnson's Hood River Amendment back on the water bill.
All right, so I believe we're looking at motions for separate motions, each for the A7, the A8, the A9, and the A12, and then we will suspend rules.
And I bring that up because good policy shouldn't have to wait for paperwork rules that's clogged up. And if I have my LRA. Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 7 amendment stated May 15, 2017 for Senate Bill 1044A.
Vice Chair Brock-Smith moves to adopt the A7 amendment stated May 15, 2017. Is there any discussion? Yes, please. Representative Reschke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had raised an issue whether tribal licenses or the identification met the standard of state licenses, and I don't know if we've heard back on that issue or not.
Mr. Crawford.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I believe we have. I believe Renee Niedermeyer was good enough to send out to the committee a response to that.
Mm. I can attest to that.
And yeah, actually, if we could, if it would be all right with the chair, if we could have Renee come up to speak to that issue.
Sure, before. Let's do it. Thank you. Hi, welcome.
Hi. For the record, Renee Niedermeyer, Director of Government Relations for the OLCC, and Chairman Leininger, Rep. Reschke, I did send out an email to the committee explaining that issue. Yours came back, and I resent it.
Oh.
And so but that all happened in one day. But basically, what I explained in the email is that there are 9 separate tribes in Oregon, and each of them have a separate process for tribal ID. Generally, I mean, they have names, addresses, date of birth, signatures, photos. More importantly, what we discovered in looking at this process just a little closer is that the federal government recognizes tribal ID for travel, for TSA travel within the United States. OMMP recognizes tribal ID for medical cards, and is also considered proof of U.S. citizenship or Oregon driver's license. And then the final comment that I made in the email is that the OLCC has rulemaking authority if any problem arises in implementation of this amendment.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you very much. And I'm sorry that I rejected your email earlier, and we'll take that up with IT.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks so much. All right. So we are under discussion on the motion to adopt the A7 amendment. Any other discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the A-9 dash A8 amendments dated May 15, 2017.
Vice Chair Rocksmith moves to adopt a dash A8 amendment dated May 15, 2017. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, motion passes.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the dash A9 amendments dated May 15, 2017.
Vice Chair Brocksmith moves to adopt the dash A9 amendments dated May 15, 2017. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, motion passes.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the dash A12 amendments dated May 23, 2017.
Vice Chair Brocksmith moves to adopt the dash A12 amendments dated May 23rd, 2017. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none? Oh, yeah, yes, there is discussion. Representative Post.
Just a quick question for Council, Madam Chair. Just ignorance. It's listed as just 12. Does it make any difference, the verbiage-wise, A12, 12?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the amendments posted on OLIS are listed just with their number. Yeah. It makes no difference at this
okay.
point.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I just noticed that there are like the A8 and A9, but now have 8 and 9, so, but there's no difference between the two.
Because the bill was originally amended in the Senate, it became 1044A.
Right.
Now, as we add additional amendments, it will become 1044B with the new adoption of these
right.
amendments.
Okay.
But when it comes to the procedural motion to adopt the amendments into it, while it generally is considered a little more proper to list the dash A8 or A12 because you're making a motion adopting a motion into an amended bill for the purposes of OLIS, it's 601, half a dozen
okay.
of another.
Yeah, great. Just want to make
Excellent. Sure. Okay. Any other comments, discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion passes. I wouldn't do it if I were you. It's a free country.
Madam Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on Senate Bill 1044A as amended without having the fiscal impact and revenue impact statements on hand at this time.
Vice Chair Brocksmith moves the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on Senate Bill 1044A as amended without having the fiscal impact and revenue impact statements on hand at this time. Is there any objection? This is not a debatable motion. So seeing none, the rules are suspended. Now we can take one more motion.
Madam Chair, I move the Senate Bill 1044A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Brocksmith moves Senate Bill 1044A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, the motion passes. Thank you, everyone, for your good work on this. Representative Helm, would you like to carry this bill? Possibly not.
I'd be happy to, Madam Chair. I thought maybe Representative Post might want to, but I don't
would you
know.
Like
I'd
to
certainly
Post?
Defer.
I would be delighted to have you carry it. Oh, let's have Representative Post. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So, committee, at this point, so we're closing the public hearing work session on Senate Bill 1044A, soon to be 1044B, and wanted to touch base about our next steps as a committee. The speaker has suggested that we have a hearing on an informational hearing on some tax issues, so we're going to have that coming up, and we have the opportunity in the next couple of weeks while not deviating from our Wednesdays only and no earlier than 8:30 meeting plans to talk about possible work items over the interim. So if you have issues that you'd like to discuss, be it broadband, I know that Representative Marsh is quite interested in that, additional beer, wine, spirits, other manufacturing kinds of things, if you have issues that you'd like to have us consider for work over the interim and for the short session, please feel free to come and bring it up, or if you want to have public hearings on an issue, please let us know. Cross-laminated timber products, economic development incentives. This is our time to do some exploring of topics of interest, so let me or Adam know, and we can set something up on the schedule. Otherwise, we may not meet weekly, but we look forward to continuing good work with our colleagues out in the audience and with one another. It's been a lot of fun working together.
I just want to thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to let the committee know. I've been appointed to the PINWAR, which is the Pacific Northwest Regional Economic Region, but also the Southern Oregon chair, the former Representative Buckley, was of the Oregon-China Sister Trade Relations Council. And so we tried to, with a committee bill, move a resolution supporting China and Oregon trade. Unfortunately, we couldn't take a committee bill and turn it into a resolution.
Got it.
So I did use a priority. They will be here, the general counsel will be here meeting with the governor on the 8th of June. And so the resolution, the concurrent resolution, will be hopefully expediting through rules to get done. So I just want to let everyone know that it's something that is good for this committee, I think, to support if they can. We have, of course, a $3.7 billion Oregon export to China in trade, and it can only grow, especially with all of the e-commerce.
That's a great point. And I know, Rep. Helm, you've been doing some good work on technology caucus issues. So if there are any issues related to that that you think would be helpful for us to have exploratory sessions on, that'd be great.
What would people think about hearing about the emerging drone industry in Oregon?
I think that's a really important manufacturing sector.
Yeah, it's developing rapidly. We have some innovative Oregon companies that are doing that kind of work. Yeah.
Excellent. That would be great.
But don't drone and drive. No, maybe you can.
Excellent. Any other thoughts?
Don't hover.
All right. Seeing none, meeting for today is adjourned. Thanks.
Well, I know,
Thanks.
Well, I know,
meeting for today is adjourned.